your library on fire. So we're talking about the latest and greatest fiction, Fall 2007. So I'm going to start out with the book talk, and then Pam will tell you some techniques that we use for selecting books and things like that. So my book talk. I'm going to tell you about a world where people would do anything for popularity. They would do anything for face rank. Money means nothing. What people think of you means everything. What you can do is insert your own Britney Spears joke here. Okay. I won't do that. But I'm telling you about Extras by Scott Westerfield. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Love this book. With this, if you're familiar with the trilogy, this is book four of the trilogy. I know. The whole society in this one is set up not in San Diego like the first trilogy. If you're not familiar with the series at all, it's a world where plastic surgery has kind of gone crazy. In the first three books, people, when they turn 16, go through a plastic surgery where they look perfect. But until you get to that age, until you get to 16, they call you an ugly. You can probably imagine what that does for you. And so people really want to be pretty. But we go through this operation. Howie, the main character in the first trilogy, finds out that she wants to go through the surgery, but her best friend Shay says, "No, maybe I want to look the way I was designed, the way I was born." And so Shay escapes. Howie, before she can go through the operation, special circumstances comes in and says, "You know what? You're not going to go through this operation. You're going to be ugly forever unless you betray where your friend is." And so I love this series. As an old 8th grade language arts teacher, as a current junior high librarian, this is a good allegory for students, for especially for some of these junior high girls, where they will sell out their friends to be popular. And so I love this series. Now, Extras takes it even further, so it's not in San Diego in the future with the first trilogy. It actually moves it to Japan, so which is kind of writing the whole manga, anime, you know, the students love that type of thing. And so the plastic surgery still is crazy, you know, lots of cool stuff that they're doing. Actually, one of the things that my students love, they don't play soccer in the future. They actually, the kids on giant grassy fields get into giant robot suits and fire foam missiles at each other and stuff like that. That's what you do for PE instead and things like that. But money doesn't exist in this society. But they don't want people to go hungry. They don't have money, so, but you got to keep track of where the stuff needs to go. There's two ways to earn credit. Through merit, which are good things that you do for society. Like if you're a teacher, doctor, lawyer, you would gain merit and you would gain stuff for society. If you're babysitting, you get a couple merits, that type of thing. But that takes time. You've got to work for that. There's another way to gain credit. Face rank, how popular you are. Now, this is a world where everyone is online constantly. Students kind of work for that. And so with this, you are constantly online. You are constantly being ranked by how many friends you have. Aya, the main character, is ranked 436,000 in her city. Not too popular. I mean, 435,000 plus people are more popular than she is. And she knows it constantly. It's called Extras because that's what she feels like. She feels like an extra in a movie. Everyone else has their story going on. She's just kind of in the background. Her older brother is ranked 1,000. He's hot, he's popular, everyone loves him. And so she wants to be just like her older brother. The mayor in the town, I find this kind of funny, the mayor is ranked only 62. So there's 61 people more popular than he is. That kind of funny. But the way that you gain face rank is to kick a feed to blog, to put it online. And you got your video, you've got your story, all this stuff, all going online constantly. People can access it through a little view screen in your eye, and you constantly are online. Kids, you know, oh, yeah, you're cool to be online. Yeah, what if you got messaged at 2 in the morning before a big test? Oh, yeah, not so cool. So that society is constantly online. It's a great warning tale for our students. But what happens is she decides that she's going to kick a feed about the Fly Girls. It's a group of extreme sports enthusiasts. What they do for fun is they surf, but it's a little bit different type of surfing. In Japan right now, they've got the bullet train, you know, rides on magnets, goes super fast. You can probably imagine what it would be like in Japan in the future, just how fast it would go. The Fly Girls, they have these surfboards that they attach to the top of the bullet train. It's magnetic. They tie in their ankles and hold on and hope they don't break their legs. And so they risk their lives, you know, many times where they almost die, and I just kind of tag along, trying to be just like them. But then Isla discovers a story. She's going to take a seat. And as an old language arts teacher, I love it because she has to figure out how to organize her story and stuff like that. Like, that's cool. She's the editing skills for her, all this stuff. But with it, this story, she has destroyed the whole city. It's a world killer story. She has discovered a secret. The government is hiding something. If she kicks that seed, a lot of people are in danger. And so she has to choose, do I keep this story, do I boost myself past 436,000, do I become more than just an extra, or, So that's the first one I kind of wanted to tell you about.
Love it.
So we are your presenters, obviously. So I am Brian.
I'm Pam.
I have trouble finding clothes.
I'm wearing heels.
I'm from Highland Junior High.
And I'm from Greenfield Junior High, part of the...
Number Potter Schools, where we expect success. I love it. District logo. All right. So I'm going to hand off the baton.
I got to take off the hat. Yeah. It's lighting back. I love the hat and all this. Okay. Just want to start by saying thank you for attending. Sorry about the seating arrangements, but hopefully everybody's cozy by now. One thing I do want to point out is that we didn't hand out any handouts for the moment. We do have one that you're going to take with you when you leave. Brian didn't want to hand them out, so he thought you'd be all shuffling around and looking for them.
Like my students, thanks.
Yeah. We want to bring all your attention to him. So just get that to hand. And also on the website, they are going to put, after the conference, both our PowerPoint presentation, which Brian has so cleverly put to music, and a music that he himself composed. And also the handout will be on there as well, and you'll see that at the end, because unfortunately our handout in the copying process does not look nearly as nice as it did when it was on the computer.
It's almost as if we copied it through a public school photocopy.
Yeah.
Good thing we had that secret.
So in between the book talks that Brian will be doing today, I'm going to just talk a little bit, in a lot less sentences than he did, about things that you can do, tools that you can learn to use, and ideas so that you can actually find books like extras and other hot and latest books of the season to get them into your own library. And if you are a person who does the ordering and selecting, you can go ahead and get those in as quickly as possible. So one of the first things you have to care about and keep up on is staying current. Staying current involves, as we know, doing the collection development, and also when you're doing reader's advisory, they go hand in hand. If you are not keeping your collection up to date, then you're always book talking or doing reader's advisory on old titles to kids. And if you work with junior high kids or high school kids, you know that they're all in trends right now. Everybody needs the best cell phone, the best iPod. They want the newest and the greatest and the latest. And so that's what we are always trying to provide for them. The hard part is that as soon as you've caught up on these latest and greatest books, you're back again looking all over again for the next moment. Some of these series come out real quick, and then there's others like Harry Potter where you feel like you're waiting for 10 years for the next book to come out. So a lot of people might be asking at this point, you know, are these books trendy then? Does that mean that they're not good literature? Is it just because, is that why the kids like them? Because they're poorly written and they're just about things that they like? And I think both of our responses would be to that. No, they are good quality literature. Has anybody read Uglies or Pretties or Specials from the Edison? Okay. And do you agree with us that they are quality literature?
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, I forgot to mention, Uglies is being made into a movie. But I'll be interested. It's the same film company that made Predator. And Daddy Daycare. I thought it was funny that Davis Entertainment has done Predator and Daddy Daycare. We'll see which one it leads to.
Different director. Okay. So you just have to remember that you're doing a service to your students or to your patrons or young adult patrons, whether you're in a public or school library. You want them reading as much as possible. And they want to read as long as you have the newest stuff to give to them. You are their hero. They can come into you every morning or every afternoon and ask you, do you have something such a book yet, and you know what they're talking about. And they will keep coming back to you if you can keep giving them books that are going to keep them reading. And of course, you want to create lifelong readers. So keeping current is very important in our field. Oops, I went too fast. I'm going to back up. Thank you. I'm not used to this clicker. This is Brian. All right. BarnesandNoble.com. This is one of the first tools that, if you're new to ordering or selecting, real easy place to get to on the internet. As you can see from Barnes' picture, Barnes & Noble is not known for their good looks. That's not how they became popular, but they are popular because they do have the newest quality literature. And there we go. That has a little delay to it. BarnesandNoble.com. We went to, if you look up books and then you can go to different age categories, I'm sure most of you know this, you can go to teens. There's also one for ages 9 through 12, and this is just a screenshot of the teens page where you can browse through different categories. These are our favorite categories to go through. First of all, there's the bestsellers, the new releases, and the coming soon books. And of course, the Barbara Price books, but those aren't going to be your latest and greatest. I love the coming soon. I actually look at that pretty much every month because I have a big whiteboard in my library at Green Hills where I keep painting it every month to reflect when the next book in a series is coming out. So like the Princess Diaries number 9 is coming out next month, the day after Christmas, Princess Mia. I got down even up to through April when the next Fable Haven is coming out. So you can find all these things like the coming soon section of BarnesandNoble.com under the teens or under the ages 9 through 12.
Alright,
we're on to the next
one. Alright, love Stargirl. Because with this one, I love books to challenge students. Both give them a reading challenge, but then also kind of a personal development challenge as well. And that's what I love about the Stargirl series. This is the sequel. If you're not familiar with Stargirl, it's the first one. And then Love Stargirl is the sequel. Now, with Love Stargirl, what's cool is you take a character from the first book that's kind of a social outcast, someone that no one really got, except for the narrator. That was kind of cool. It was told from a guy's perspective, and this guy kind of had a crush on her, but didn't want to tell people, you know, because she was kind of weird and stuff like that. And so there's all the conflicts that come from that. In book two, Stargirl, Susan Carolay, her actual name, is now a mentor figure, which I love seeing. So she's gone, she's still in high school, she switched states, and now she goes around kind of spreading unconditional love, which is really cool, to different people around the community. So you've got like a widower, so this guy who sits by his wife's graveside. Morning to night. He sleeps out there. And so he's silent. He's kind of a weird old guy. She goes and talks to him. Sees what, and he doesn't say anything in the first couple times. He's just staring there. He's in another world. He's remembering his wife. You've got a woman, older lady, who is a shut-in. She hasn't gone outside of her house for a couple of years. And so Susan's constantly trying, come on, let's go to the front step, and she doesn't want that, so let's at least go into your backyard. Let's take a step out into the backyard and stuff like that. And then there's a girl, a young girl, who has anger issues. She's got a horrible life at home. Stargirl comes in and says, you know what? You cannot live like this. You cannot do this. You will explode in a couple years. We need to see what we can do for you. And so what's really cool with Stargirl, because of that unconditional love, she brings people together that wouldn't normally hang out and things like that. Now, so she's kind of a hippie, so she's got the winter solstice is coming, so she's going to throw a big winter solstice party, and so I have everyone come out and hang out. And her dad, wonderful dad, he was just a businessman, very focused on his job, not too focused on the family. And he gave that up to be a postal worker. So he delivers, mail, newspapers, things like that, and delivers milk and stuff like that in the book. He's a milkman, newspaper guy, all that stuff. And so he is out at like 4:30 in the morning, and he comes home tired, but he's still there for his girl. One of the cool things is Stargirl, Susan, goes out onto, she calls it Clock Hill or Time Hill, where she's got, she makes her own little Stonehenge to watch for the solstice and stuff like that. And the dad makes sure that he leaves the light on the porch so that in the middle of the night she can see her way back home, which is kind of cool. And throughout the book, you can tell how many people are being impacted by Stargirl. based on how many lights are being turned on in the neighborhood at night. So love it, love it. But I'll tell you this, I've got 3 copies. There's a 40-person wait list on it right now, so it's very popular. It's a great book. I love it. And now for something completely different. Snakehead. Anthony Horowitz, this guy's a man. I love this guy. Alex Rider Stormbreaker, when I was a language arts teacher, that was one of the first books that I read when I switched from the high school to the junior high level. I was like, oh, what is this book? Wow. It's awesome. It's really cool. Now, if you're not familiar with the series, liking this one, Snakehead. Why would you call it Snakehead? Yeah, it makes a good cover. You know, you got the snake law with lightning and all that stuff, so it gets the kids' attention. But what is a snakehead? It's actually a political term for an organization, a criminal organization, that has ties through, kind of like a winding snake body, through all these different, areas in the world. So a snakehead, in this one, it's a Chinese snakehead, so Chinese mafia, that has contacts in terrorist organizations, has drug smuggling connections, people smuggling, and toy making. because in all honesty, it's kind of cool because what it does is it shows how some of these criminal organizations use things that are very, you think, oh, it's a toy making company or whatever, just a front to get the money filtered out. And so Alex realizes that this is not good, so he goes undercover to break up the snakehead.
Yeah.
Cool. And this actually, if you're talking latest and greatest, came out on Tuesday. So it's a good kind of up. So I got an arc, I got an advanced reader copy of it. Really cool. So actually, I'll tell you this. You saw a picture of my daughter. I took the previous week, last week I took off, and so I read it while and changing diapers and all that. So kind of an interesting contrast. in one of the scenes, and this is one of the interesting contrasts, in one of the scenes when he goes undercover, Alex is working with his stepfather. Godfather. So his parents died in a plane crash. Actually, a plane explosion, we find out. And died not an accident. And so, that's what happens when you work for MI6, British Intelligence. And so Alex, what's great about Scorpio, which is book 5 in the series, and Snakehead, is that, you've got the helicopters, you've got the missiles, all that stuff. But in each book, especially Scorpio and Snakehead, he seeks out a father figure. So it's more than just rampant action. It's got a development of who am I, where did I come from, and where am I going. And so with this, he gets hooked up with his godfather, the person that his dad said, if anything happens to me through MI6, I want you to take care of my son. But it's real tough when your godfather is also in the secret military spy, but is not that good of a character. He's kind of a shady character. And because he's involved in some of these snakeheads and he's deep undercover and he's kind of getting involved in some of the stuff that he's trying to break up. So in one scene, and this is why it was funny, because I just got done changing a diaper and then I went to read the section where Alex gets kidnapped in the middle of the night. So he's wrapped up, kidnapped. When they unwrap him, he's actually in Thailand, which is really great because it's got a good geography lesson. Just like James Bond, you go to all these different locales. What's cool is Anthony Horowitz visits those places, so he's very good about trying out some of the stunts and going to these different places, which I think the guy's kind of crazy. Some of the stunts he's done makes for good literature. when he's in Thailand, Alex Rider wakes up and he's in a dark underground facility where it's a cage fight. And he is now in a chain link fence. He's waiting in the crowd. People exchanging money, all the shouting, chaos. And then they say, you're next. And so they push him into the cage. 35-year-old trained killer with, rippling muscles, all that stuff, and a 15-year-old British kid. They're going to go at it. And what's really cool is that it's very realistic, and our kids appreciate that. And it's very realistic. If Alex were to do one punch, knock out, win, they wouldn't like it. They'd be like, it's cheesy, no way would that ever happen. What's cool about Alex, he's an intelligent hero. So he outsmarts the guys. So he has to use kind of like a MacGyver type stuff where he is outwitting the bad guys. And I love that. One of the other things I love about the series is how many explosions, helicopters, all that stuff. Not once has Alex pulled a gun on anyone. I love it. Love that. It's a great series. Lots of action. I'm struggling readers especially. And I'll tell you this for circulation statistics. Tuesday, because I got the shipment, Wednesday morning. Because it came out on Tuesday. Wednesday morning, I made an announcement on our announcements at 7:50 in the morning. 8:01, my first copy was checked out. So soon came rushing down. 8:10, my second copy was checked out. 8:11, we were all sold out. So the waiting list. So yeah, there was a lot of waiting lists. Yeah, if you want to set your library on fire, this is one of the most current ones out there, and it's awesome. Alright. This is another one that you might not be familiar with. You might know the author. Some people I talked to are like, what's that? Boot Camp by Todd Strasser. So we're switching gears. Alex is kind of lighthearted. This one's very serious. But also what's cool, even though it's serious, it's still appropriate for the 7th and 8th grade level and the high school level as well. And definitely at the public library and stuff like that. With Boot Camp, I learned some interesting statistics. Todd Strasser, if you're familiar with Give a Boy a Gun, was another one that he did where at the bottom of each page it had statistics from different magazines, newspapers, things like that, that told about school shootings. With this one, Boot Camp, it talks about, you know, if you get kicked out of your school, you get kicked out of your alternative school, learn next. And so parents sometimes send their kids to boot camps. In the year 2005, 100,000 teens from ages 13 to 18 were involved in boot camps. 100,000 kids had been sent to these places in just that year. In these boot camps, or some of these places, the parents, this is real, that's not a book talk that's actually yesterday to a class. No, it's true. There's these contracts that the parents sign, and they sign away and they say, if there's an injury to my child, it is the result of my child's own disobedience and no one else's. They basically sign away their rights. And with this, it's a business. It's not involved with the legal system sometimes. And so there's no police, no judges, no attorneys. Basically, it's the parents' decision. You send them to a boot camp, and you decide where you're right. One of the interesting things, and I read the article that he referenced in it, there's transporters, these people whose job it is, basically they're professional kidnappers. The parents say, I'm going to leave the house unlocked. You have, we signed our rights. We give you permission to come in and kidnap my child. And so they come in. They don't phrase it like that. They say transport them to the boot camp, but that's what they're doing. And that happens to Garrett, the main character of the book. So he's sitting, he's enjoying TV, and they show up, and they take him to this boot camp. And if you are a fan of Shawshank Redemption, that movie, that's one reason. Because his parents are the ones that put him in there. And they had a disagreement. He was dating someone that they didn't like. They said, no, we're going to straighten you out. And so they send him to the boot camp. And if you're a fan of the George Orwell of 1984, it's very similar to that too, with some of the strategies that they use. If you're disobedient or disrespectful to some of the people in charge, they put you in TI, total isolation. And so you're in a concrete room with no windows. They just have a door, and they bolt it. And you are in there in the dark a minute, an hour, a day, a week, and you don't know. Because you have just lost track of time. And they've got the warden and the guards and stuff like that do some pretty serious stuff. But what I love about Todd Strasser, even when he's talking about these serious things, he's very serious about it, but it's also still age appropriate too. Because they could go over the top when describing this stuff. Because there's a lot of things that happen. He kind of alludes to it, makes inferences, but doesn't go into great detail, which is really nice. And so that way I can recommend it to 7th and 8th graders. And Sean, but definitely high school would love this too. Todd Strasser, one of my new favorite authors, just based on this book. It's a phenomenal book. And so, go ahead.
Okay, back to some techniques again. Browsing, probably one of my favorite ways to find out about the newest books that are out. Since we're librarians, we don't have anything else better to do on Saturday night, so we go to our
I actually agree, sadly enough, my wife and I do Saturday night stuff that we do on date night, so.
I'm sorry. Bring with you a pad of paper and a pen because you're going to be writing down tons of titles. If you go through the young adult section, go through the juvenile section, you're going to find out there's a lot more series out there from your favorite authors than you knew about. New stuff coming out all the time. There's no way to keep up on all of it. I just go through and just start reading those jackets, writing down titles that look interesting, that sound interesting, and then I go back to my library and I'll look up reviews and I'll show you a tool that I use for that coming up in a few minutes. Another thing that I do, since I do work with public libraries, I do take it to my advantage. I also browse the public libraries while I'm working. So I get two things at once. I can pay for it. I love it. We have like what are called roamers that go around to the library to help people, and when nobody needs any help, I go to the YA section and start looking through the titles again. Look for the shiny covers. Those are the things that have come out recently. And also, if you work at a library like that, you can also get into the back rooms where they keep some of the new stuff that hasn't been on the shelves yet, look through some of those titles as well. And that's probably the best part about being able to select your own books in order. It's just actually finding them. It's like, I don't know, it's like Christmas, even though you're not getting them, it's just looking at them and they're brand new, and just like when you get a new order into your library, it's one of the most fun things to do. Also, if you're at a public library or if you're at home, you can also use their online catalog, do an advanced search. If you're, you can look up by publication date, like 2007, and limit it to YA books or juvenile titles, and it'll bring up a list of things that have just come into the library. I know the Maricopa County Library District also on their homepage has like a what's new section for not only DVDs and adult books, but also for YA and children's books. You can also look there for some new titles. Networking. Besides getting out of work today, that is one of the reasons I'm here today. So, has everybody been off the exhibits yet and looked through some of the vendors that are out there? Have you all seen some new things that you didn't know were around yet? Okay, one of them out there is Phoenix Book Company. We deal with them a lot. And they have a lot of new titles out there that you can actually buy here at the conference. So you need to go out and talk to other librarians that are in the same position as you. You need to get onto some listserv maybe and talk to other people that are doing the same thing you are but in another part of the country, because it's weird how things kind of sometimes lag between sides of the country. Not maybe with books, but something that's really hot maybe out in New York or Washington, D.C. right now may not have gotten here yet, or vice versa. So you can learn a lot through that. School librarians, everyone's heard of LMNet, one that you can get onto, and the young adult crowd has one called Yalta Book. That would be a good one to do too.
What is that?
Yalta,
okay.
_ BK, Yalta Book.
Thank
you. Yep, if you go to the ALA website, they have instructions on how to subscribe and unsubscribe from all of those different listservs.
What was the first one you said that everybody...
LMNet, I'm sorry. It's LM_net, and that's for children's services.
The letter L?
Yep, capital L, capital M, _net. It's a listserv for children's services. They talk about a lot more than books. You know, they do story time programming and all that stuff too, but you can always put out a question out there and you'll get tons of responses for that.
And when you say children's services, do you mean young children or do you include junior high?
For LMNet, it probably would go up to, I would think, 7th and 8th grade for those ones, because a lot of the people that are, you know, working with 6th graders, they might be in school at 6, 7, 8, so it could be a little bit below that. And probably most importantly is to converse. Kids are treasure troves of ideas, and you won't believe the knowledge they have about books. They know more than we do about what is out there right now. They talk to their friends. You know, friends, when they talk to each other, they're not going to talk about stuff that's not cool. So they're talking about the best video games that are out there right now, who's got the most popular books that are out there, and they want to get them. So when they come to ask you about what you have, you need to be up on that and be able to talk back and forth with them, and also have read the books yourself so you can have a conversation with them about those books. So talk to the kids, find out what they're reading, find out what authors are their favorite, and then you can also suggest some new ones to them. Also talk about the hot topics in teen literature. Right now, of course, it's the vampires, with, you know, Stephanie Meyer. Time travel is always a big one. And lately, you'll see one that's coming up, you know, the issues of genetic engineering, people with special powers. All of those are really hot right now. you know, the TV show that's out right now, Heroes, where every character has a different power. That's what's really big right now, and a lot of those are in the young adult books. So talk with the kids about things that they want to read about and things that they already know the series for, and you'll be getting all the information you really need to serve the kids that are at your location. Another nice thing about being a librarian and reading all the time is that you can create for your own community your own latest and greatest. If you read a book that you think is exceptionally well written and you know that the kids at your school will like it or the kids at your public library, you can create in your own community the latest and greatest. What's particularly big at my school isn't always real big at Brian's because we talk different books. I'm a big Sinusonas fan, so I'm always telling the girls about what my mother doesn't know, and now there's a new one, what my girlfriend doesn't know, and I've got the girls hooked on those, and of course they're into the Click series, and you can create all of these things in your own community. One that I often recommend to a lot of girls at my school, a real touching story called Sharing Sam, and that last name of the author for that one, Sharing Sam. And the last name of the author of that one is Applegate. It's about a girl who falls in love with a boy, and they end up dating and whatever, and she has a best friend, and her best friend gets sick with leukemia, a type of cancer, and it turns out that she likes the same boy, and that she's going to die pretty soon. So the one girl gives up her boyfriend so that her other friend can have him, and she falls in love with both of them. So all the girls in my school just die over that one.
Just like him.
Oh, okay. So you can create those latest and greatest, even with some older titles that may have been out for a couple of years, but you can do that yourself at your school, just from reading what you already have and just being your own promoter for those types of items. Because if you know the books and you can sell them, the kids are going to read them. All right, I think we're
on
to you.
There we go. So what I love about Ranger's Apprentice is some of the teachers that I talked to when the first book came out, they're like, oh, it's a guy, he's got a bow and arrow, whatever, and they didn't want to read it. And then John Flanagan won the Grand Canyon Award, and they're like, oh, Ranger's Apprentice, I've never heard of it. Okay. So we've got two books I'm going to tell you about right now. Icebound Land and Battle for Scandia. Icebound Land, with this one, if you're not familiar with the series, Will, the main character, is, obviously an apprentice to a ranger. The rangers are the ones in kind of a medieval fiction. If you're a fan of fantasy, you'll like it. If you've got kids that, read only fantasy, this will be good. But what's cool is that you hook some of the kids that don't always read fantasy. I have kids that will come up to me and say, do you have books about swords that doesn't have, like, dragons and wizards and, gnomes and stuff like that? This one, it's one of those that fits both of those. So it's, straight up human. And with this, you've got Will, and he's being apprenticed by Halt, expert ranger, war hero, and things like that. But in book three, if you read Burning Bridge, which is book two, Will, at the very end, gets kidnapped. So he gets brought by a bunch of Vikings to Scandia, which I love the book series. I love what John Flanagan has done, because adults, we know, Scandinavian, things like that. We can kind of see the reference. This guy right here, is actually a Gaelic knight, or Gallic knight, however you say it, who is French. It's basically the French people, that type of thing. So when when this guy rides up and he's talking to them, he's speaking French, and they're like, huh? What's coming out of his mouth? Halt and Will and stuff like that. So kind of fun, little geography thing for the kids. But in book two, Will got kidnapped, brought by Vikings to Scandia. Book three, Halt goes to find him. And so Halt is, like I said, a war hero. He is very valued by the king. And so they don't want him to go search for his apprentice. They say, it's just one man. We've got a threat that's coming in. You cannot go search for your apprentice. Halt says, just watch me. And so he actually, in one of the sadder parts of the book, he gets very drunk, to be able to, he starts insulting the king. And he's not really drunk, he's pretending like he is. And he starts insulting the king, talking about, you know, all this stuff about how horrible the king is. People hear him, they're like, why is this hero talking bad about the king? They get, he gets brought up in front of the king, and the king's advisor says, this is a trained hero, you know, a warrior that's in your service. This is treason, and you've only got two options, death or banishment. And so Hulk thankfully gets banished, and he gets sent out, you know, he gets stripped of his badge and all that stuff, and so he gets sent out to go find his apprentice. But the king is pretty cool. He says, you're banished for a year. And the advisor's like, that's banishment. They're not supposed to be able to come back. That's the definition of banishment is you don't come back. And he's like, I'm the king. Would you like to argue with me? And the advisor, no, no, no. So with that, you got Hulk on a rescue mission. But what's really cool is John Flanagan weaves a lot of different storylines, kind of like Lord of the Rings, and they see a similarity to J.R.R. Tolkien, one of the classic fantasy authors. So he weaves all these different characters together that always meet up at the end for one giant, great showdown at the end, which is really cool in Book 3. I wanted to highlight Book 4, Battle for Scandia. I'll be looking for this in March. I don't want to tell you too much about it, but it's coming out in March, and so you can probably tell that the rescue mission doesn't go so well with that one. Okay, so that is coming out in March. Actually, March for my month, and I got an advance reading copy of this, so I'm like, yeah. This is cool, because Flanagan is actually an Australian author. He's written 7 books in the series already. If you were in Australia, you'd be able to read it and things like that. The cover looks totally different. It looks more like a Smallville, or like sometimes all these guys posing and stuff like that. Or, yeah, you got that guy. So with that... March is definitely a big month for my library, because you've also got the next Maximum Ride is coming out in March as well. So mark that one down too. Yeah.
How do you get them
advanced? The arcs? I'll be completely honest with you. Jay's from Phoenix Book Company gives me arcs, and I read them. Sorry, advanced reading copies. He gives me the advanced reading copies and says, hey, what do you think about this? I'm going to talk to other librarians. What's this one? And there's some I'm like, yeah. You know, and I don't want to mention those books. I don't want to dishonor those authors and stuff like that. But there's some kind of, no way. I can read it. And then there's others that I read, like Battle for Scandia. That's awesome and stuff. So, yeah. So, Phoenix Book Company is one. That's what I use. If I said I'm going to be honest with it. But any bookseller, talk to, like, maybe Changing Hands or some of the other local places, or Phoenix Book Company and say, hey, can I get, you know, an advance reading copy of that type of thing. Okay? Your local bookseller should provide that. Because they get a whole bunch from the publishers. All right? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. When you were talking about the connection with related things, that's what happened to me. You got them out right away. How did you even process this fact?
Because it is.
Pastorazzo, she's my assistant. So the two of us, although I'm jealous of the high school librarians, they got like, you know, this whole staff, whereas up at the junior high, we've got it's me and my assistant. And basically we code them in, we find the mark records, all that stuff.
We sometimes sell books in our library, but we'll get a display of like Snakehead or some of the more popular ones. Through Phoenix Book Company, we set it up in advance. They will ship them to us through FedEx so that if they get the books before the 13th, like when Snakehead came out, we'll actually have them like on the 13th or the 14th. We set up the display in our libraries and we sell them for a discounted cost for our kids, and then we also take a few copies to put into our libraries. Whatever we don't sell, we just give back to the company.
Yes. Well, and what's really nice about that is really we're doing a book fair, but it's like the current book type thing. That's what frustrated me as a language arts teacher is I'm going down, we go to the book fair, and you get all the circle of books and all that stuff, and books that are like 4 months old, and when you're talking about, you know, the new trendy stuff, that's not that. And then also book fairs usually sell like rubber bouncy balls. Like that's you normally selling like rubber bouncy balls and posters. You might as well advertise it as a rubber bouncy ball fair and not as a book fair. And of course, as a language arts teacher, I did not like that because they come into my class and just went to the book fair. But it was this time of day. So we do that throughout the year. So we did that with Eclipse and with Lost Argon and stuff like that to be able to have those right there for them. All right, so Eclipse, Stephanie Meyer, I'm not going to go too in detail with this, because most people know this, or if you don't, just a real quick summary, is you got two characters, you got Edward, you got Bella, Edward's a vampire, Bella's not, and so in Eclipse, the third part of the trilogy, she has to decide, does she stay a normal person, does she follow what her family wants and all her friends want, or does she become a vampire herself, so, unending love and all that sort of thing. So I'm not going to go too much in detail because a lot of people are familiar with Stephanie Meyer, especially because she's from Arizona.
Yeah.
Cool. Now, this is one that people don't know that much about. This is one of those underground type books. Genesis Alpha by Rune Michaels. So I introduced this one to my school, and they love it. So this is another one where we've got a lot of holds on this book. This is Rune Michaels' first book. And I'm like, wow, if she's debuting with this, I want to see more. So this is her first book. And with this one, Josh, main character, teenage boy who has a lot of complicated issues. What young adult book doesn't have that? But with this one, Josh was born for a purpose, for a reason. His older brother is dying of leukemia. He was born for his blood. He was born for a blood transfusion. And so when he becomes of age, they do the blood transfusion, and his brother is safe. Yeah, that's in chapter one. Brother is safe from leukemia. The issue, the conflict that happens, is that his older brother is then accused of murder. Should we have saved the brother? Should we, are we messing a step we shouldn't have messed with? What is destiny for him to die? And so it brings up a lot of really cool issues in it. If you're a fan of Among the Hidden by Margaret Peterson Haddock, or if any of your students saw that series, this is a follow-up. So once your kids read Among the Three and they're done with that series, definitely put them on the Genesis Alpha. Because that one, and the other cool thing, Josh is a clone, and so it's got kind of that sci-fi aspect to it as well. And so are there more Joshes out there? Are there more people to harvest and stuff like that? So it's real cool. Mystery, suspense. There's a scene where Josh goes out, taking out the trash, goes out to the back shed, and there's a girl hiding in the shed. It's the sister of the girl who was murdered, and she is not happy. So with that, a lot of cool suspense too. So if you're a fan of thriller suspense, but yet it's clean, because I know that there's a lot of suspense books where it goes like a month or that again. Gory detail, this is not one of those. It's a mind thriller. It reminds me of something like, so Margaret Peterson had extra books, but I would say, like M. Night Shyamalan, it's like an M. Night Shyamalan film, where it's not gory, it's just, things kind of happen off camera, you're wondering what's going on, and you piece it all together, and at the end you're like, whoa. Now what's really cool about this one, Genesis Alpha, the name comes from a video game that's inside of the book. So that all the kids are online, they're playing Genesis Alpha, it's like a World of Warcraft type game, where everyone's, playing their thing, and Josh's older brother was a big fan of this game, and he left clues, motivation inside the game, and so Josh has to go in, create an account, and start playing the game and try and unearth some of the clues that his brother left in there, and we figure out, was he playing, or did his older brother really do it? That's how we enter the detective thriller that happens within this game. So, pretty cool stuff.
Okay, reviews. Before you buy anything, make sure you're reading the reviews to make sure it's going to be, number one, appropriate for your library. You got to check the content. And also, we all go through the reviews as well, so we can find new reads for our kids to enjoy. Since our budget dollars are really precious nowadays, it's so important that you look at the reviews. And if you can't afford library journals, there is a great tool out there that I'm sure some of you are using called Tidal Wave, which I don't know if Seth from college is going to like us boosting this or not, but we are. Currently, TidalWave.com is a free resource or tool that you can use to look up book reviews, and it's everything from, preschool all the way up to adult books. You will have to create an account through them to be able to use the service, and they are the best one that I have found amongst all the vendors that we're familiar with thus far, because they do include reviews from a lot of the popular review journals such as Booklist and Kirkus and Hornbook and so forth and FLJ. First thing you can probably look for is the age group that a book is suitable for. You can actually go into the collection development section or tab on Tidalwave.com and search for books within a certain age level, either like grades 5 through 8 or YA books would be 8th grade and above. to make sure you're getting things that are going to be appropriate for your collection, especially if you're a conservative community like we are here in Gilbert. This is what it looks like on the screen. Here's what my girlfriend doesn't know, one of my favorites. It tells you the interest level of YA. So anything that says YA, I know that I definitely have to look into the record a little bit more to see what it says about it, because I know that that might be a little bit much for my kids at 7th and 8th grade level in a conservative community. So the next thing you want to look for are the issues. Now, those are usually under the subject heading. And unfortunately, they don't put profanity under the subject heading, because that would be so helpful, or graphic sex or anything like that. But that's why we have to read the full review, read the summary, and it'll also tell you if it is sequel to another book, so that way you're making sure you're getting all the books that are in a series. The kids hate it when you have book one, and then you have book three, what happened to book two, books I missed that month. So always check and make sure that if you're going to get a series, keep up with it, because you got to have them all for the kids that are going to read those. How long will these? There we go, summary. Here's the summary for what my girlfriend, or what my mother doesn't know, excuse me. And it doesn't show the whole thing, so it got cut off. But it's very important that you read all of the different reviews that are covered for each book. Sometimes there might be two or three there. Sometimes there just might be one. For a lot of the new books that are just coming out, the sad part is that, you know, I guess the AFLA don't get advanced reading copies, and they don't put the reviews up until the book actually is released in public. So sometimes if I'm concerned about a title because I know something about the author already and some of their other books are a little bit mature, or the cover looks like it might be a little bit much for the students in my age level, I'll wait until the reviews come out and get it a little bit later. Unless it's an author like Horowitz, which I know is going to be fine, or Flanagan. For the Pride and True, you can just go ahead and get those ordered so that you have them hopefully the week they come out. Also look for in here the timely topics again that we talked about before, you know, the special powers, the time travel, the things that are going to interest the kids at your school. Here in Gilbert, we have a really big fantasy crowd. I don't know if that's true for all of Arizona, but we can't keep fantasy books on our shelves for 7th and 8th graders at all. So pretty much everything that comes out in fantasy, we're most likely going to get it if it's a good read. And also, they have the capability on TitleWave where you can make lists of books so you can keep track of things. And this is so helpful because when you're dealing with all these different books and you've got this one coming out in April and this one coming out in May, and they'll put these on here weeks, months in advance. You can look up probably right now and find Fablehaven that's coming out in May. They'll already have it on there. Go ahead and add it into a list. You can create your own list names, keep them saved there in your account. So when you're ready to do your next book order, you have the books in there. You've already read the reviews, so you know that they're okay for you to order for your library. Does anybody here use TitleWave? A lot of you? Okay. Well, good. So everyone's, well, not everybody. A lot of you are familiar with it then. So we're going to move on to the last part because we're almost out of time, and our last book talk.
Yeah, I love this one. This is a series, like what Pam was talking about, like introducing a book series to your school and kind of creating some hype about it. This is one that a lot of people didn't know about. So that's what I'm going to tell you about book one. I'd tell you I love you, but then I'd have to kill you by Helen Carter. And then book two just came out last month, Cross My Heart and Hope to Spy. With I'd tell you I love you, but then I'd have to kill you. Main character is Cammy. Cammy goes to a private school. It's a school for all girls. She's not too happy about that. And her mom is the headmistress at this school. Also not cool. Because when her friends get in trouble, they don't like her then. The other interesting thing about the Gallagher Academy for Exceptional Girls is it's a girl school for spies. This trains them to be spies and assassins and things like that. Now, it sounds like it would be a pretty serious book. You know, I tell you I love you, but then I have to kill you. But with this, it's actually a light comedy. It's a lot of fun. What I would say is this is a mix of Princess Diaries, Meg Cabot type stuff, mixed in. And actually, what I love about Meg Cabot stuff as well as Allie Carter is when you read this, you're like, okay, this sounds like that girl that's in my library. And, this totally sounds like Megan. This totally sounds like Janelle, you know, that type of thing. So definitely, one, Allie, I was very familiar with Teen Reads and stuff like that. So at this school for girls, they learn spy stuff. So instead of taking PE, you learn how to kill a man in 13 different ways. And one of those includes spaghetti. You don't take science, you do lock picking and how to get a car hot wired and stuff like that. So of course you tell the kids are like, yeah, this is cool. But what's fun for this, it was kind of a mix of the Anthony Horowitz spy stuff and then the May Cabot. What happens is that she's on a mission and she is supposed to track one of the professors. She finds what she needs to know and is about to report back, and she gets caught by a local boy. So someone who isn't familiar with the school, just knows it's kind of up on the mountain. This local boy follows her back to the school. And so this spy school then has to hide all the machine guns, put up the nice posters and all the academic banners and stuff like that, and pretend like they're a normal school. And what I love about Cross My Heart and Hope to Spy is that in this one, she decides that she's got all the dating issues and stuff like that that happened in the first one. She says, boys are messing with my mind. I'm going to focus on my spy work. And so she does some really cool action spy stuff at the beginning of the book. But then she hooks up with a young James Bond type guy who would let, Mr. Suave, almost could wear a tuxedo the whole time and look good in it. And then the ex-boyfriend shows up. Average guy versus super spy. Average guy saying, we can be friends. And the super spy wants to go detonate, the terrorists and all that sort of thing. So she has to choose, do I do what my friends want me to do and go hang out with the normal guy, or do I do what my mom wants me to do and work with the super spy and stuff like that. So it's got some cool issues. There is spin to it, that some of the same things that our students love to read. And Allie Carter is a lot of fun. I've actually been emailing her, trying to get her to come out to my library. So next semester, hopefully, we'll be able to host her. And I tell you I love you, then I'd have to tell you being optioned by Disney. So you're going to see a movie coming out, which is really cool. So I'm excited for that. I love it.
I'll just their names again. We're going to hand out here in just a moment, so you can take a look. You're going to have our email addresses on it for both me and for Brian. So please, Brian also has a website where he has his own blog, so you can find out some stuff on there about lots of different books and other things. So we're going to give you the handout in just a minute. And this is what the handout looks like if you look at it on the computer, which is very pretty. Unfortunately, yours is going to be in black and white because we couldn't afford a dollar per sheet. So you'll have all the covers for the books we talked about, along with some extra titles that we didn't get to talk about today.
We don't have time.
And there's no room for charity in here.
We love talking about books, but seriously, we have our emails on there because we want to get a resource for you.
Right,
on the next
day. Yeah, it's on the van. Do you want to just hand those over? The music is on the is on our PowerPoint that's available online. Okay, it's
thank you. I love it.
Okay. Thank you. I know. I'm like,
Yeah, I'm going to be able to get out of the building that they want to go to the next one.
first year in the library, which is something that's hard to find here. So yeah, it's been a
We're trying to get out of the game.